Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influences Broadcast. I am your host, Minister Denise Walker, and I welcome you back to our show today. Wherever you are in the world, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. Before we begin our show today, we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we will begin the show. Father, we thank you, O God, for another opportunity to spread your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that you send this message across the world, that people will find hope in Christ in you, Lord. And as we continue to celebrate the resurrection, Father, we thank you, O God, for moving through us and in us, O God, allowing your word to come forth as we discuss what you did for us. And so we thank you and we praise you. We pray for those that are listening, those that will listen to the replay, those that will listen and receive what you have for them, God. We pray for open hearts, for minds to be cleared, God. Remove the blinders and the blockage so that someone may hear your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, welcome, 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 welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am the founder of Hope in Christ Ministries, Denise Walker. And here at Hope in Christ, we are healthy overcomers, purpose, and we maintain our eternal perspective as we find our hope and our identity in Christ Jesus. Also at Hope in Christ, if you require prayer or you would like for someone to pray for you, you may email us at denise@hope-in-christ.com. That's denise@hope-in-christ.com. So without further ado, we would like to welcome you to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise. And today we're going to continue with the celebration of the resurrection, and we will be discussing how Christ equipped us with power, and what did the resurrection really, really mean for us as believers? So I have a phenomenal author here with me today, an author and minister, that's going to tell you a little bit more about herself, and then we're going to jump right into the topic today. So we have author Pamela Nance Johnson, who will be joining this discussion today, and we're going to have Pamela go ahead and introduce herself.
Good evening, everyone, and I am Pamela Nance Johnson, as Minister Denise said. I am in Fredericksburg, Virginia, under the leadership of Bishop and Pastor Henderson. My church home is Kingdom Family Worship Center. I am also an author. In 2019, I had the honor and privileges of being published in an anthology, where I share a portion of my testimony, and I am also doing the same here in 2021. I have another opportunity to be featured in an anthology as well that will be a continuation of my story. I seek to encourage women, especially in their walk, and to just how we walk out our life application of our faith. I am a guest blogger with Hope in Christ Ministries, and I just appreciate the opportunity to spread the gospel. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you again, Pamela, for always being amazing and joining us on this discussion. And so tonight we're going to be discussing what is the meaning of the resurrection, and also how did Christ equip us with power. And so for our listeners here on Hope in Christ, every beginning of the month, we take the time to have a discussion, a healthy conversation about something dealing with Christianity. And, of course, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, so what more fitting would it be that we talk about the resurrection? And so today we're going to be talking about that. So I want to begin with the meaning of resurrection, not the definition, but what did the resurrection do for us as believers? And so we know in the scriptures, the word declares that Christ rose with all power in his hand, all power and authority. And so we know that for us as believers, those that have our hope in Christ, those that walk with him and talk with him, we know that we were given new life and authority over the enemy and just so many different things that the resurrection means to us as Christians. And so today we're going to chat about why we have to make sure that we take that authority and we continue to walk in it, especially in the times that we're in. And so, again, we want to begin with what did it mean, the resurrection power of Christ. We know that with all power, healing, authority, everything was in his hand and still is in his hand. Oftentimes, lately, we may hear people kind of question the truth about Christ, and we, those of us that are believers, have to stand up and be recognized and know that the things that he has done in our lives has been amazing. And so the Bible tells us that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so tonight we want to celebrate that and discuss so many, there are so many scriptures about it. We're gonna tackle a few of those scriptures tonight. So I didn't know, Pamela, if you wanted to kind of chime in just on that part, and then we're going to jump right into those scriptures.
You know, when I first saw the topic, like you said, it is definitely right in line with Easter and Resurrection Sunday. But immediately I thought of the name of the ministry, the Hope in Christ. I know that it's an acronym for something else, but just the word hope is what I think when I hear the resurrection. That's what it means to me, because without Christ's sacrifice, then we would be lost. We wouldn't have any hope at all. People put their hope in other things, but unless you put your hope in Christ, then you don't have any right to eternal life. You don't have any a chance at salvation. You're just lost. And so that's what I thought of immediately when I saw the topic. When I saw resurrection, I think hope.
Amen, amen. Absolutely hope. And I just remember the amount of times that I would ask God, okay, Lord, the word hope, you keep ringing it in my ears. And like you said, it is so true. Without Christ, we have no hope. A lot of times we may hope in, you know, our jobs. We place hope in so many different things, wanting it to respond the way we would desire for those things to respond for us, maybe in what we need, whatever it is. But we know that only Christ, only in him do we truly have hope. And we know that because he got up with all power in his hand, we can continue in that hope. You know, if he hadn't have got up, if the tomb wasn't empty, we would be having a different conversation. And I say that oftentimes that, you know, the tomb is empty. We know that as we are talking about Christ being the only hope, there are so many different things out here that people may believe in, and not to diminish anyone, but to know that we know the true hope. And so we are asking that, you know, if you're listening to us right now, that you would place your hope, just open up your heart just to hear what we're going to be discussing about Christ and the hope of glory that's only found in him. And so thank you for sharing that. So our first scripture we're going to be talking about, or we're going to be discussing, is Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. And in Romans 6, It says the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So I'll read that once again because it's a lot in that scripture, and we're going to talk about it. Romans 6, verses 8 through 11 reads, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so I'll begin with what I believe this scripture means and how it relates to the resurrection. So we know that Christ got up with all power in his hand. He lives. When we hear Christians say he lives, and we sing that song about he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. So we know that he lives, and so he died so that we may live eternally. And so I believe that's what the scripture is reminding us of. And it says that we should be basically die to sin, and that we are alive in Christ. So when we're in Christ and the work that he has done in our lives, we know that sin doesn't reign any longer in our mortal bodies. The sin that we once walked in, he's healed us. He's delivered us from those sins. And so we are alive in him, spiritually alive. Before that, we are dead in our sins. We don't realize that we're walking. I call it the walking dead. And I know that's who I was before. And not realizing that I wasn't alive spiritually until I came to know Christ. And so I believe that's what Romans 6, 8 through 11 is reminding us about, is that life, true life, spiritual life, understanding who God is, becomes more prevalent in our lives when we have that relationship with Christ. The scales are taken off of our eyes, the blockage from our ears. We can hear him speaking, and we're alive in the spirit, and we must die to our flesh on a daily basis. So, Pamela, I didn't know if you want to add to that.
Sure. The first part that talks about the death he died to sin once for all, that just speaks to it's for everybody. Christ didn't die just for one group of people. Sometimes different groups of people think, you know, that they have the monopoly on Christ, but he died for all of us. And that's the important thing to remember about that section. And then when you go on, like you said, but the life he lives to God in the same way that we will be alive in God. I just think about some people who don't come to Christ or wait so long, and they think about what they have to lose or what they have to give up, and they don't think about what they are gaining, the gaining eternal life, the gaining the life in Christ Jesus. And like you said, building that relationship is so important. It's just like if you want to be, you know, a friend to someone, you have to build a relationship with them. If you want someone to do something for you, you want to speak to somebody, when you pray, you're building that relationship. You're communicating with God. You can't just come and just ask for things and you have no relationship. You just come into, you know, begging, and that's not what we should be doing in our Christian walk. But definitely the life that we gain is just the most important thing, not the things that we give up. But if people would reflect on your life has just been changed, and how I can't even put into words sometimes how different, you know, where would I be without Christ in my life? I just don't know how some people, you know, just make it. And that's why we have so much turmoil, a lot of the reasons why we have so much going on, because people need to just come to Christ before it's too late. Recently, I put up this post that said, get your house in order. It's an old song, but it's definitely prevalent. It's relevant today. The time is winding down, and we need to make sure we get our house in order.
Amen, amen. Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of times, those of you that are listening to us, a lot of times people don't believe that. But we know, I just remember from the time I was a little girl, we hear about what's in the Word, and we hear about Christ coming back, Christ coming back. But we see that, I mean, it's almost like right in our face. But because people have fallen away or haven't come to Christ, they can't see that in the spirit what's going on. So when we're speaking of knowing that, we know that because we can determine that based on the spirit, walking after the spirit and not after the flesh. So we have to, we just admonish you all to just, if you don't know Christ, to just consider, just open up your heart and listen to, again, what we're saying this evening. And our second scripture is Luke 24:6-7. And it says, remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And so when I read Luke 24:6-7, I'll read it again before I give my commentary. It says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And so this is one of the scriptures that oftentimes on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we are reminded of, that Christ came to die for us. He came that we might live. And every time I read that, I think about he knew. This is understanding his deity. We don't have the knowledge, the foreknowledge as individuals, as mere mortals. We don't have the foreknowledge to say, you know, this is what's going to happen to me, and be able to tell our timeline, but he knows all things. And so that scripture stands out to me because he was able to tell them that stop trying to fight it. I remember one of my favorite apostles in scriptures, Apostle Peter, and he was one of those like, we're not doing this, no, you're not going anywhere. And he, Christ began to tell them, no, this must happen. He came to die that we might live. And so that's what that scripture means to me, that, you know, that I will live and have life and have it more abundantly in him. And so he said that he'd be raised on the third day. And we know that that's prophetic. We know that he fulfilled that prophecy. And it happened. And so that's one of those scriptures that I love, love, love. And so, Pamela, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Absolutely. And just like you said, it had to happen. It's ironic that he would have to remind them of this, that remember that he told you these things. I think sometimes we get comfortable and we just think that, you know, things are going to be a certain way. And so maybe the disciples just, not that they have forgotten as much as they, you know, maybe they just didn't really think that this was going to happen the way that it was. But he reminded them that, yes, this has to happen. If there's going to be a resurrection, then there has to be the crucifixion. So his mortal man, that body would have to die. And then he would be raised again. The spirit would be raised again and all those wonderful things that happened. But if we were to have this hope in Christ, then this had to happen. It would be no other way. That was the only reason, or the reason that he came. You know, God needed a vessel or a body or instrument, if you will, to pay this price, and Jesus did that. So it definitely had to happen. I think about the time between Good Friday and Sunday's coming, how it is that on Good Friday, I always thought, why are they calling it Good Friday if this was the most terrible time of Jesus' crucifixion? But then I, you know, come to know that, okay, yes, this crucifixion had to happen for us to have our right to eternal life. For that third day, we had to have the Good Friday first. And like you said, he fulfilled his promise and his purpose and his prophecy. When we had the seven last sayings on Friday, I said something to the effect that even until his last breath, he was still fulfilling his purpose. All those things that he said, from the conversation with the two thieves and, you know, taking the one with him and saying, you'll be with me in paradise, and looking out after his mother, Mary, and all of that, he was fulfilling his purpose even as his mortal body was dying. But it definitely had to happen, because if it didn't, we wouldn't be where we are today. Like you said, the conversation would be very different. All of these other gods, like with the little g gods, they are no longer here. But we know that Christ lives. And my pastor said something on Sunday, well, if you dispute that Christ lives, then produce a body for him. Where is it? There isn't one. The tomb is empty, like you said. And that kind of just, you know, drop the mic kind of moment. He lives. You cannot dispute that.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, produce a body. Produce a body. I remember so many times one of my former pastors saying that if the tomb wasn't empty, it'd just be a whole different conversation. We'd all be doomed. But because it is, we know they can't find him because he has risen. And so I wanted to also piggyback off of what you were saying, that about if there was no resurrection. I'm sorry, if there is no crucifixion, it would be, wouldn't be the resurrection. And so just to point that in the direction of us as individuals across the world, we also have to die to ourselves. In order to live in Christ and allow Christ to do the work in us, we have to die to ourselves, to our own will, our own way. Oftentimes, again, in the hours that we find ourselves living in, we see many not wanting to die to themselves. And because if I die, I'm relinquishing power in my own authority over my life, but not realizing that I don't really know what to do with my life. I try to figure out what to do with my life, but I can't. There's a certain stopping point. And so in order for Christ to do the work in us, we have to die. We have to die to ourselves, our own will, our own way. I remember a great theologian once said, and I can't remember his name right now, but I remember reading his book, and he said, if we would dethrone ourselves from our own heart, then Christ can take the throne. And so in order for Christ to do the work in our individual lives, yes, he lives. Yes, he rose again from the dead. With all power in his hand, he has not changed. He said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. But in order for him to operate in our lives, we have to die. We have to die to ourselves. And so I just wanted to add that. And we're going to move on to our next scripture, which is John 11, 25 through 26. And John 11, 25 through 26 reads, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So he asked a question. Him being the Lord of all, knowing all things, still ask the question, do you believe this? So again, it reads in John 11:25-26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe it? So in the first part of that scripture where he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, he uses, I'm an English teacher, so as an English teacher, he uses two articles that stand out to me. He says, well, it's the same article, but he uses the same one in both sentences. He says, the. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so when we say the, we have to understand there's another article that's Now, he could have said, I am in resurrection or a resurrection and a life. He could have said that, but he was making a point that it stops with me. There is nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else to look, nowhere else to search. I am the resurrection. I got up. It's me. I'm the one with all power in my hand, and I'm the one that gives life, physical and spiritual life. And so that was very powerful to me when I read it, and every time I read anything where he says, I am the, then when he goes on, there's another scripture where he goes on to say, I'm the bread of life. And so we have to understand that we can't live without Christ. We can't live spiritually. We just can't. There's no other way to phrase it. We can't live without him, because he is the life. He is he's the one that gave us our being. And so we have to be very, very careful when we begin to search our own philosophies, or we begin to search what other people think, or different things, because he's specific in his words. An example is, if I were to tell my son to go into my bedroom and bring me the key or whatever on the nightstand, there's only one there. There's nothing else he needs to look for. He is expected to only pick up that thing that I sent him in to pick up, because I said the key or the notebook or whatever it is on the nightstand. There is specifically only that thing. And so when Christ is saying, I am the life, I am the resurrection, he's saying there is nowhere else, no one else, nothing else that can give you life. So I just wanted to add that, and Pamela, you can chime in.
I agree with all the statements you made. And just to make another practical example, you hear people nowadays say things like, you know, the universe or positive vibes and all of that. And I believe positive vibes are important, and you should have a positive attitude. But when people say the universe, I believe, you know, give Jesus his credit. It's not the universe. It's Jesus. It's God. It's the resurrection and the life. It's only one God. So when you want to give a statement and you say the universe, that's really not acknowledging or giving God his credit or his respect. That's another thing they say nowadays, you know, to put some respect on the person's name. Well, respect Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life. Like you said, there is no other. There's nobody else that, no other of those little G gods that were resurrected. They died and they stayed dead. Those people who were worshipped and all of that, they're the weren't resurrected. They didn't come back to life, and they cannot do what Christ could do for you. Even though they die, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. That's, we're looking forward to our eternal life. And I think of the song that says, I'm living this life to live again. So we're living a holy life that we should, so that we can live again. It isn't about what we're doing in this world. It's how we're striving to live beyond this world. And I like the question that Jesus asked, do you believe this? He's you know, it speaks to the free will. He's not forcing himself. He's telling you who he is, and then he's asking, do you believe? And if we're believers, then we have to believe all of it. If we're going to believe everything that we read, we need to believe everything in the Bible.
Amen, amen, amen. And also, the one thing that I was also, when you were talking, what came to mind was the other part of that scripture where he said, even if the person dies, even if you die, you live. So it says that whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And so he said, even though you die, you will live because you are living eternally. And so one of the things I wanted to add and piggyback off of what Pamela was saying is when we exit this side, as I would always say to my son, when we exit this side, we have to understand that we live eternally, but it's up to us initially of where we're going to choose to live. So we're going to step into eternity, but where? And if we've lived our lives for Christ and we've died to ourselves and walked in relationship with Christ and lived, as Pamela was stating, a holy, set-apart life as he commands in the Word, then we live forever with him. But if we have chosen to live, you know, separate from him, because he's not going to force us to do anything, because I always say this to my son as well, true love is not forced. And so he wants us to come to him for ourselves and come to know him, but also understanding that when he's saying you won't, even though you die physically, you will live because you're going to live in eternity with him. And so I just wanted to add that. In our next scripture, and we have just a couple other scriptures that we want to talk about. In 1 Peter 1 and 3, it states, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me read that again. Praise be to God, 1 Peter 1 and 3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so the part that stands out to me there is the new birth. It's not, we no longer, our old self, it should no longer be reigning in our lives. So we shouldn't be walking as our old self because Christ meets us new. And there's a new birth that takes place when we accept him and we allow him to rule and reign in our lives. He gives us that new birth. And so that's the part that really stands out to me. And having that living hope, there's that word again, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we live in him. We live, we rule, we have our being in Christ Jesus. Pamela, I don't know if you want to add to that.
So first I would talk about this great mercy, because God didn't have to have mercy on us. We know that mercy is not getting what we deserve. We don't deserve God's grace and mercy, but he gives it to us. And the greatest act, or one of the greatest acts of this mercy, was him sending his son to die for us. And like you said, the new birth and the living hope, I think about the fact that we talk about living holy or living this Christian life, and that it is possible. That's why we have this living hope. We can live. We can do this. Some people think that it's too hard. Oh, I know I don't have to give up something. I can't do what I want to do, all of that. But like you said earlier, we have to die to self, but look at what we gain. I just keep going back to that about the life that we gain as Christians. If we would just live in this hope, it's just really, as I get older, I can just see and just growing in my own faith that I'm just so different. Like it says, the new birth, the things that used to upset me or, you know, I used to worry about, I just pray for peace. And I'm amazed sometimes, you pray for something, and then you're amazed that you got it. But that peace that passes all understanding, now it isn't saying that I don't ever have anything that bothers me, but the things that are just living a peaceful life, just not having all this chaos and drama, and just being focused on the new birth or the new life in Christ. And it's not one day, it's every day. The Christian walk is just that. It's an everyday walk. When we talk about life application, it's taking the word into our daily life, just getting rid of fear. And that's something that we struggle with as well. If people would be transparent and tell the truth about it, we all have a little. But it's just a matter of putting our hope in Christ. We can get through some of these things if we would just do that. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we just keep coming back to that because that's the whole point of this. We have this hope because of his resurrection. But the living hope and what we gain in Christ is just something that I keep coming back to when I think of this subject matter.
Amen, amen, amen. And absolutely, the living hope we have to, as you see it, just and that we know that the Holy Spirit continues to speak that through the airwaves for those that are listening to us. And I also just before we go into the very last scripture, I wanted to add that someone may be questioning, you know, again the resurrection and the truth, even just the total truth about Christ. And in order for him to do the work again in your life, we must, as a scripture that says, we must believe that he is. We must believe. That's the first step, is believing. And so, again, as I don't know why God keep bringing it back to my heart, but whoever's listening to us must open up their heart to him. And I promise you, he will show you who he is. I am a living witness. Pamela is a living witness. And he will show up and show you who he is if you would just open up your heart. And and we know that the Bible says that the things around us that we can see that he created help us to know that he is who he says he is. But if you would just simply open up your heart and just hear him, ask him to show himself mighty in your life, and he will. And so we're going to, we have one more scripture that's from 1 Corinthians 15:21. And that scripture says, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. So again, 1 Corinthians 15:21 reads, for since death came through a man, talking about Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. So I remember my one of my former pastors, he would say, basically helping us understand, he said, try to truly, in your finite mind, understand the triunity of God. And so this scripture stands out to me because we understand that in Genesis we read about Adam, and we know that that brought about death, physical death, spiritual death. We know that. And so we know that God, in his infinite wisdom, came up with the plan of action that none of us can do. None of us mere human beings could do except for him. He had to come, and the resurrection of the dead also had to come through him, because the power, and there's another scripture that tells us about how what all of that does for us, the consciousness of man and the transforming of our hearts and all of that. So all of that had to be done in Christ Jesus. I remember one time I asked the Lord, I said, God, trying to understand the different religions. I remember sitting at the table, and I was asking God, why are all these religions around us? And God spoke to my heart and said, the only one that wasn't created by man was me. And so Christ was the only one not created by man. He came supernaturally. The way none of us can give an account of saying we created Jesus. Nobody can. Man made religion, but Jesus is not religion. So I wanted to make sure we understand that's the key thing that we're talking about at Hope in Christ. And so, Pamela, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Like you said, the thing that separates Jesus from man or mortal man, it's just miraculous how God's plan unfolded. If we look at even Jesus' conception and birth, even his teaching as a young child, and follow him through those 30-some-odd years, and the crucifixion and the resurrection, no man, mortal man, could do any of those things throughout his ministry, throughout his death, burial, resurrection, and going back to his conception and his birth. None of that, we can't even fathom how God came up with the plan, let alone how no man could do any of that. And that wisdom, the wisdom of God and the compassion that he's shown. Some people say that, you know, how could God let certain things happen? But look at the compassion that God had for his creation, that he would not want any of us to die and be, like you said, we're going to have a place of eternal, where we're going to spend eternity. God doesn't want any of us to be lost, because he had this set, you know, before we were born, before the foundation of time. He knew that certain things were going to happen, and he had this plan for us. Such great compassion that he would have and show us. One song I listened to recently during the Easter morning was, it wasn't the nails that kept Christ on the cross. It was love. So it wasn't that he could have come down from the cross. He could have said, I don't want to do this. These people, I don't want to do this. But it was his great love for us that kept him there so that we could have salvation. Those are the things that, you know, make me just weep, is that he loved us so much. Some people can't imagine that type of love because we don't have that type of love in our natural life. But if we could just for a moment think of just a little bit of that type of love, man, that's the thing that, you know, just resonates with me, how much he loved us to come up with this so that we would have a chance to be saved.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And as you were talking about, you know, I often think about songs, and sometimes God will give me a song, I just start singing, start walking around the house singing that song. And one of the songs that I love, that I remember even writing a devotional about years ago, was by Carrie Jobe, and the lyrics are, What Love Is This? That was the title of the song, What Love Is This? And she goes on to say, What love is this that you laid down your life for me? And so we can't even wrap our minds around the love that Christ gives, the love that we feel when we, you know, walk and we talk with him every day. And I remember recently someone said, people continue to say that, you know, God is speaking to them. And I want to say to you, again, if we would stop and open our hearts and just take a moment to listen, we would encounter, we can hear, he does speak. He lives, so he speaks. He gave us life. We speak. And so he gave us the ability to speak. And so why wouldn't he speak? And so we want you to know that he loves us with an everlasting love. The Bible says that God is love. And so, again, as I think about Carrie Job's song, when she said, "What love is this?" I remember weeping when we listened to that song about what he has done for me and the love that no human being has ever been able to share, or even my husband, my son, no one has been able to give me the love that I received from Christ. And so we want to make sure we emphasize that as we get ready to close out. And we're going to close out in prayer, praying that someone heard something we said, someone will accept Christ, and just simply understand that we didn't just somehow come to an end. There wasn't a bang, and we just somehow existed. We still exist. And I remember even recently one of my students asked a question. He was just talking, and he asked a question. He said, if we came from apes, and that's another theory, if we came from apes, then why are apes still here? And so we have to begin to stop for a moment in our mortal bodies, in our finite minds, and understand one thing. If we could understand the vastness of who God is, resurrection power, all of who he is, it would not be God. He would not be God. So we have to understand that there's a depth to God that is amazing, and he holds all of us in his hand. He holds the world. Remember the little kids used to say he has the whole world in his hand. That is absolutely so. And so we are going to pray for you to accept the resurrection, the resurrected King, into your heart. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, oh God, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, for what Christ did for us. Lord, we know we are witnesses because you told us to go to all the corners of the earth and minister the gospel, to take the message of the cross to the world. And so we pray for those that are listening, those that will listen to the replay even months from now, that somebody will hear the message of the cross and respond to it.
Yes,
Father, we pray for your healing. We pray for your deliverance. We pray for your wholeness. God, we pray for mankind to know you through the power of Jesus Christ, and that we live because of you. And so we thank you and we praise you, O God, for the person that will hear your voice and they will not turn away. Lord, we bless you and we magnify you and we glorify you. We thank you, for you are the only living God. And outside of you, there is no other. And we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' holy name, matchless name, and we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
And so, again, we thank you. We thank you for joining in on our discussion tonight, this evening, this morning, wherever you are in the world. And we say that before we close out, that you would place your hope in Christ. And we thank you for listening to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Enforcers broadcast. And again, our identity is in him. He makes us whole in him. And we find the only truth there is. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Have a phenomenal rest of your day.